Welcome to Story Time for Adults. Well, actually, today's story would be suitable for children too. My name is Geraldine Collern, and I am an avid reader, but I love having stories read to me. This is a very short story. It's called Nothing to Be Afraid Of, and it's by Jeanne Marc. Robin won't give you any trouble, said Auntie Lynn. He's very quiet. Anthea knew how quiet Robin was. At present he was sitting under the table and, until Auntie Lynn mentioned his name, she had forgotten that he was there. Auntie Lynn put a carrier bag on the armchair. There's plenty of clothes, so you won't need to do any washing, and there's a spare pair of pyjamas in case, well, you know, in case. Yes, said Mum firmly, he'll be all right. I'll ring you tonight and let you know how he's getting along. She looked at the clock. Now, hadn't you better be getting along? She saw Auntie Lynn to the front door, and Anthea heard them say goodbye to each other. Mum almost told Auntie Lynn to stop worrying and have a good time, which would have been a mistake because Auntie Lynn was going up north to a funeral. Auntie Lynn was not really an aunt, but she had once been at school with Anthea's mum. And she was the kind of person who couldn't manage without a handle to her name. So Robin was not Anthea's cousin. Robin was not anything much except 4 years old. And he looked a lot younger, probably because nothing ever happened to him. Auntie Lynn kept no pets that might give Robin germs and never bought him toys that had sharp corners to dent him or wheels that could be swallowed. He wore balaclava helmets and bobble hats in winter to protect his tender ears and a knitted vest under his shirt in summer in case he overheated himself and caught a chill from his own sweat. Perspiration, said Auntie Lynn. His face was as pale and flat as a saucer of milk and his eyes floated in it like drops of cod liver oil. This was not surprising, as he was full to the back teeth with cod liver oil, also with extract of malt, concentrated orange juice and calf's foot jelly. When you picked him up, you expected him to squelch like a hot water bottle full of half-set custard. Anthea lifted the tablecloth and looked at him. Hello, Robin. Robin stared at her with his flat eyes and went back to sucking his woolly doggy that had flat eyes also, of sewn-on felt, because glass ones might find their way into Robin's appendix and cause damage. Anthea wondered how long it would be before he noticed that his mother had gone. Probably he wouldn't any more than he would notice when she came back. Mum closed the front door and joined Anthea in looking under the table at Robin. Robin's mouth turned down at the corners, and Anthea hoped he would cry so that they could cuddle him. It seems impolite to cuddle him before he needed it. Anthea was afraid to go any closer. What a little troll, said Mum sadly, lowering the tablecloth. I suppose he'll come out when he's hungry. Anthea doubted it. Robin didn't want any lunch or any tea. Do you think he's pining? Said Mum. Anthea did not. Anthea had a nasty suspicion that he was like this all the time. He went to bed without making a fuss and fell asleep before the light was out, as if he were too bored to stay awake. Anthea left her bedroom door open, hoping he would have a nightmare so that she could get in and comfort him. But Robin slept all night without a squeak and woke in the morning as flat-faced as before. Wall-eyed Doggy looked more excitable than Robin did. If only we had a proper garden, said Mum, as Robin went under the table again, leaving his breakfast eggs scattered round the plate. He might run about. Anthea thought this was unlikely, and in any case, they didn't have a proper garden, only a yard at the back and a stony strip in front without a fence. Can I take him to the park? Said Anthea. Mum looked doubtful. Do you think he wants to go? No, said Anthea, peering under the tablecloth. I don't think he wants to do anything, but he can't sit there all day. I bet he can, said Mum. Still, I don't think he should. All right, take him to the park, but keep quiet about it. I don't suppose Lynn thinks you're safe in traffic. He might tell her. Can he talk? Robin, still clutching Wall-eyed Doggy, plodded beside her all the way to the park, without once trying to jam his head between the library railings or get run over by a bus. Hold my hand, Robin, Anthea said as they left the house, and he clung to her like a lamprey. The park was not really a park at all. It was a garden. It did not even pretend to be a park, and the notice by the gate said, King Street Gardens, in case anyone tried to use it as a park. The grass was as green as flat as the front room carpet, but the front room carpet had a path worn across it from door to fireplace, and there were more notices that said, Keep off the grass, so that the gritty white paths went obediently round the edge under the orderly trees that stood in a row like the queue outside a fish shop. There were bushes in each corner and one shelter with a bench in it. Here and there, brown holes in the grass full of raked earth waited for next year's flowers. But there was no flowers now, and the bench had been taken out of the shelter because the shelter was supposed to be a summer house and you couldn't have people using a summer house in winter. Robin stood by the gates and gaped, with Doggy dangling limply from his mouth, where he held it by one ear between his teeth. Anthea decided that if they met anyone she knew, she would explain that Robin was only two, but very big for his age. Do you want to run, Robin? Robin shook his head. There's nothing to be afraid of. You can go all the way round if you like, but you mustn't walk in the grass or pick things. Robin nodded. It was the kind of place that he understood. Anthea sighed. Well, let's walk around then. They set off. At each corner where the bushes were, the paths diverged. One path went in front of the bushes, one part around the back. On the first circuit, Robin stumped glumly beside Anthea in the front of the bushes. The second time round, she felt a very faint tug at her hand. Robin wanted to go his own way. This called for a celebration. Robin could think. Anthea crouched down on the path until they were at the same level. You want to walk around the back of the bushes, Robin? Iss, said Robin. Robin could talk. All right, but listen. She lowered her voice to a whisper. You must be very careful. That path is called Leopard Walk. Do you know what a leopard is? Iss. There are two leopards down there. They live in the bushes. One is a good leopard and the other is a bad leopard. The good leopard has black spots. The bad leopard has red spots. If you see the bad leopard, you must say, Die, leopard, die, or I'll kick you in the eye. And run like anything. Do you understand? Robin talked again. Oh, no, said Anthea. I'm going this way. If you want to go down Leopard Walk, you'll have to go on your own. I'll meet you at the other end. Remember, if it's got red spots, run like mad. Robin trotted away. The bushes were just high enough to hide him, but Anthea could see the bubble on his hat dithering along. Suddenly, the bubble gathered speed, and Anthea had to run to reach the end of the bushes first. Did you see the bad leopard? No, said Robin, but he didn't look too sure. Why were you running then? I just wanted to.
You've dropped Doggy, said Anthea.
Doggy lay on the path with his legs in the air, halfway down Leopard Walk.
You get him, said Robin.
No, you get him, said Anthea. I'll wait here.
Robin moved off reluctantly. She waited until he had recovered Doggy and then shouted, I can see the bad leopard in the bushes. Robin raced back to safety.
Did you say die, leopard, die, or I'll kick you in the eye? Anthea demanded.
No, Robin said guiltily.
Then he'll kill us, said Anthea.
Come on, we run. We've got to get to that tree. He can't hurt us once we're under that tree. They stopped running under the twisted boughs of a weeping ash.
This is a python tree, said Anthea. Look, you can see the python round around the trunk.
What's a python? Said Robin, backing off.
Oh, it's just a great big snake that squeezes people to death, said Anthea. A python could easily eat a leopard. That's why leopards won't walk under this tree, you see, Robin.
Robin looked up. Could it eat us?
Yes, but it won't if we walk on our heels.
They walked on their heels to the next corner.
Are there leopards down there?
No, but we must never go down there anyway. That's Poison Alley. All the trees are poisoned. They drip poison. If one bit of poison falls on your head, you'll die.
I've got my hat on, said Robin,
touching the bauble to make sure. It would burn right through your hat, the air assured him, right into your brains. Fzzz.
They bypassed Poison Alley and walked on over the manhole cover that clanked.
What's that?
That's the fever pit. If anyone lifts that manhole cover, they get a terrible disease.
There's this terrible disease down there, Robin, and if the lid comes off, the disease will get out and people will die.
I should think there's enough disease down there to kill everybody in this town. It's ever so loose.
Look, don't lift it, don't lift it, Robin screamed and ran to the shelter for safety. Don't go in there, yelled Anthea. That's where the greasy witch lives.
Robin bounced out of the shelter as though he were an elastic.
Where's the greasy witch?
Oh, you can't see her, said Anthea, but you can tell where she is because she smells so horrible.
I think she must be somewhere about. Can't you smell her now? Robin sniffed air and clasped Doggy more tightly. And she leaves oily marks wherever she goes. Look, you can see them on the wall.
Robin looked at the wall. Someone had been very busy, if not the greasy witch.
Anthea was glad, on the whole, that Robin could not read.
The smell's getting worse, isn't it, Robin? I think we'd better go down here, and then she won't find us.
She'll see us.
No, she won't. She can't see with her eyes because they're full of grease. She sees with her ears, but I expect they're all waxy. She's a filthy old witch, really.
They slipped down a secret-looking path that went round the back of the shelter.
Is the greasy witch down here? Asked Robin fearfully.
I don't know, said Anthea. Let's investigate.
They tiptoed round the side of the shelter. The path was damp and slippery.
Filthy old witch. She's certainly been here, said Anthea. I think she's gone now. I'll just have a look.
She craned her neck around the corner of the shelter. There was a sort of glade in the bushes, and in the middle was a standpipe with a tap on top. The pipe was lagged with canvas like a scaly skin.
Frightful corner, said Anthea. Robin put his cautious head around the edge of the shelter.
What's that?
Anthea wondered if it could be a dragon up on the tips of its tail and ready to strike. But on the other side of the bushes was the brick back wall of the King Street Public Conveniences, and at that moment she heard the unmistakable sound of a cistern flushing.
It's a lavatory demon, she said. Quick, we've got to get away before the water stops, or he'll have us.
They ran all the way to the gates where they could see the church clock, and it was almost time for lunch. Auntie Lynn fetched Robin home next morning, and 3 days later she was back again, striding up the path like a warrior queen going into battle, with Robin dangling from her hand and Doggy dangling from Robin's hand. Mum took her into the front room, closing the door. Anthea sat on the stairs and listened. Auntie Lynn was in full throat and furious, so it was easy enough to hear what she had to say. "I want a word with that young lady," said Auntie Lynn, "and I want to know what she's been telling him." Her voice dropped, and Anthea could hear only certain fateful words. "Leopards, poison trees, snakes, diseases." Mum said something very quietly that Anthea did not hear, and then Auntie Lynn turned up the volume once more. "Won't go to bed unless I leave the door open. Wants the light on, up and down to him all night. Won't go to the bathroom on his own. He says the, she hesitated, "the toilet demons will get him. He nearly broke his neck running down the stairs this morning." Mum spoke again, but Auntie Lynn cut in like a bandsaw, frightened out of his wits. "He follows me everywhere." The door opened slightly and Anthea got ready to bolt. But it was Robin who came out, with his thumb in his mouth and circles around his eyes. Under his arm was Soggy Doggy, ears chewed to nervous rags. Robin looked up at Anthea through the banisters. "Let's go to the park," he said. Thank you.